now bring to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation on an issue confronting the body of Christ, the church, that they need to have a biblical understanding of. And this week, we're going to be talking about, is God, God by any other name? David, Israel Today published an article on their website this week that deals with the issue of whether all religions ultimately worship the same God.
Well, that's right. Israel Today seems to be a Christian news organization actually based in Israel. And as you noted, the title of the article is God, God by any other name? And certainly that's an issue. As we go forward and move into these last days, there are more and more people who are claiming that the God of all religions is ultimately the same God, just by different names, whether he be Allah or one of the names of gods in tribal religions, and that everybody ultimately worships the same God. So it's a huge issue and certainly something that believers need to take into consideration.
Well, the author, named Brian Hennessy, begins the article with a reference to a video by Pope Francis earlier in the year in which he seems to suggest that all people in all religions ultimately worship the same God, which is what liberal Protestantism has been claiming for decades.
Well, that's true. The author, at the end of the article, notes that he is a former Catholic, and from the way he writes the article, it seems that he is a born-again believer. And he references this video that came out by Pope Francis. Actually, it came out back in January, but he uses it as a basis for his article. And Pope Francis has people from various faiths, from Buddhism, from Islam, and various faiths, and promoting the idea that basically we're all in this together. And at one point near the end of the video, he says, in this crowd, in this range of religions, meaning those represented by those in the video, there is only one certainty that we have for all, and that is that we are all children of God. Now, certainly we are all God's creation, but we are not all children of God, because the Bible says that those who have not been born again through faith in Jesus Christ are actually children of the devil. So we're not all brothers and sisters under the fatherhood of the God of the Bible.
You know, David, it's very interesting to me. The Pope's beliefs seem to actually contradict the official teachings of the Catholic Church. How is it that Pope Francis can possibly hold this view?
Well, actually, this is a development that has its roots back in the Vatican II Council, which was from 1962 to 1965. Prior to Vatican II, the position of the Catholic Church was it is the one true faith, and that no one can gain eternal life, entrance into heaven, except through being baptized into the Catholic Church. But actually, all that changed with Vatican II. Now, the Catholic Church would say that their official theology has not changed, and by definition, it can't. But certainly, their application of their theology has changed. And the way they've done this is by the wording of the Vatican II documents, which I've read. They make it clear that they're reviewing the Catholic Church as God's sacrament of salvation in the world. And so they would maintain that if somebody is saved, they are still saved through the Catholic Church, but this could come through adherence and sincerity in the teachings of other religions. And so that they talk about Judaism, or they talk about Islam, or even those who are maybe even in tribal religions, as ultimately coming to God through their various, the light of whatever revelation they have, even the revelation through nature, but ultimately they are saved through the Catholic Church. So what Pope Francis is doing is simply giving voice to that and going down the road that opened up.
David, interestingly, Hennessy argues that the God of the Bible is not the same as the gods of other religions, and he makes a number of excellent points in this article. First, he notes that God revealed his personal name as Yahweh, which, in my opinion, and I believe yours as well, is very, very important.
Well, it sure is. You know, it goes back to Exodus chapter 3 when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses is given the task of going back and leading God's people out of Egyptian bondage. And so Moses poses a question to God, who should I tell them sent me? And God gives Moses the instructions to tell them that I am who I am. And it comes out in English, the word Yahweh, and in the King James translated Jehovah. So it is the eternal, ever-present I am. And interestingly, Jesus, when he's being challenged by the Pharisees in John chapter 8, he makes the point in saying, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, well, how can this be? You're not even 50 years old yet. And he says, well, before Abraham was, I am. So those Pharisees speaking Hebrew or Aramaic, they would have immediately understood that he was identifying himself with the one who had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And so this is the unique God of the Bible, Jesus himself being the God of the Bible, who is going to lead Egypt out from the false worship and the bondage in Egypt, because the Pharaoh was not allowing Egypt to worship the God of the Bible, what was demanding that they would worship the God, the Egyptian God. So if they were the same God as the God of the Bible, this would not have been an issue.
You know, Hennessy also made a great point concerning the gods of the pagan nations surrounding Israel. For example, Baal, which was one of the Canaanite gods.
Well, that's true. You know, Baal, or Baal, as it is in some forms of the Semitic languages of the region, which would include Hebrew and Aramaic and Arabic and other languages as well, the term Baal actually means Lord. So, for example, you think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. The priests of Baal were simply worshiping the one that they considered Lord. And certainly the Israelites and Elijah worshiped the one who is considered Lord, or Adonai in the Hebrew. But it's very clear from that encounter that the Lord of the Baal worshipers and the Lord of the Israelites was not the same God. And God sent fire down from heaven to demonstrate that he was above and different from the false and demonic gods of the Canaanites. And in fact, in Acts chapter 7, just before Stephen is stoned, and he's actually stoned because of him confronting the Jews who were there, and he points out, and referring to Amos, and he says, it was not me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? You also took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of Rampha, the images which you made to worship. So once again, if Baal is really just another name for the God of the Bible, or Moloch is another name for the God of the Bible, and these other people were just worshiping the same God by a different name, these would not have been issues, but God considered them abominations.
David, sometimes we hear people say that we live in a pluralistic society and that we should embrace religious pluralism. Maybe it would be helpful for you to explain what these terms really mean.
Well, a pluralistic society stands in contrast to a monistic or a monotheistic society. So, for example, Islamic countries would be monistic societies. They're only supposed to worship one God. But we live in America where there is free worship of the God of one's choosing. We should worship only the God of the Bible, but within the society there are multiple faiths. Religious pluralism kind of builds on that, but goes beyond it in saying that all religions, not only are you free to worship, but that all religions are equally valid. And this is what has been pushed by liberal Protestantism for a long time, and also it's a part of a convergence, even among the religions of the world, to say that ultimately we're all worshiping the same God, and they're equally valid, and they're just different paths to the same God.
I happen to know that when we share the gospel, you've done it, I've done it, many have done it who may be listening to us, it's important always for us to make it clear exactly who Jesus is, so that people are placing their faith in the biblical Jesus. But isn't the identity of Jesus the single most important fact that every other religion seems to get wrong?
Well, that's a great point, and that is exactly the crux of the issue. For example, Islam says that God has no son. They say that Jesus did not die on the cross, and if he did not die on the cross for our sins, then he is not the Savior. And also, if Jesus is not God, then he cannot be the Savior, and he cannot die for anyone's sins but himself. So the fact that he died for all sins of all men of all time means that he must be God, and when we share the gospel, well, we have to make sure that people understand that they're placing their faith not in a dead religious leader, but the living Savior who is actually going to return one day to judge the living and the dead. And so our faith must be placed in God, and Jesus is God.
And I remember in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John has some very strong words concerning those who would deny Jesus and his true identity.
Well, he sure did. In 1 John chapter 2, he says this, beginning in verse 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us." And then he says this, "Who is a liar, but who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." So those who attempt to equate all religions or say that we're all children of God, actually, they're fulfilling John's words concerning the last days. This is the spirit of Antichrist.
I would have to say that as we consider the stage which is being set for the fulfillment of end times prophecies, that none of this should come as much of a surprise to those of us who actually believe the Bible.
Well, that's true. You know, we've talked about this before many times. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about the coming of the man of lawlessness, who is the Antichrist, who is empowered by Satan, we read this, verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Then he goes on in verse 11 to say this, "And for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." And the lie is this, that there are other paths to God and that the Antichrist empowered by Satan is the one that people should turn to and worship. So he will institute a false religious system in the first half of the tribulation, and then he will go into the temple and declare himself to be the God of heaven when he's really only the God of this world.
I have to tell you this, my dear friend, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, you've heard tangible evidence that we're living in the end times, the last days, and the rapture of the church must be very close at hand. David, excellent conversation. Thank you for your research on it. We'll have another issue next week.
All right, great to be with you again.